Are we good?
Ready.
All right. All right, we're ready to go, Peter.
Sure.
My name is Cheryl McDonough, and I'm here to obviously custom fit this day for our large crowd. I'm here because I was the first principal of the Great Bay Learning Charter School. Peter came on about a year and a half later, and he is my partner. We now are, we believe, the only job share principalship in the state of New Hampshire. We share the position. When Dr. Hansen approached us about being here today, because he's a big fan of Great Bay, we decided that the best way for you to learn about our culture would be from the kids. So, and then we started talking, and we said, wait a minute. We really have somebody else who's important to the culture. It's the parents. So we also brought a parent with us. So you're going to hear from them in a minute. Real quickly, the setup for today is we'd like you to spend as much time asking them things as you want, and then Peter and I have a few things to go over afterwards. We've been a school for about 6 years. 2 years ago, we won the High School School of Promise Award for the state of New Hampshire from the Eddies Committee. We've had our biggest success, we believe, is with school community and culture. Doesn't mean we don't have our problems every day, just like every other school. But that's kind of where we're going to start off from today. Peter's just going to give you a few statistics and things about the school. Then we're going to go right to Taylor. Okay?
Awesome.
All right.
Hi, my name is...
Not yet.
Hang on,
Taylor. He's really anxious.
Ready to go.
I should let Taylor go. He's ready to roll. My name is Peter Sackhouse, as Cheryl said. I am the co-principal. I've been with the charter school since 2006, fall of 2006. Prior to that, I was with the Exeter Region Public School District as a teacher administrator for about 20 years. So it's a great little school. I mean, it's a place where educators who have the philosophical desire to do good things for students really thrive. I mean, educators, our folks just love it there. Our school, it opened in January of 2005. We were chartered in 2004 when the state of New Hampshire received federal grant money to open up charter schools or to promote charter schools. There are currently 11 charter schools in New Hampshire that are still operating. We have 152 students in grades 8 through 12. We cap our enrollment at 34 students per grade, so we can organize them into two smaller groups of 17, we call them base teams. We started with grade 9, 34 students in January of 2005, and have added a grade every year since. So we did 10th grade and then 11th grade, and then we were only chartered originally for grades 8 through 10, so we had to go back and get our charter revised so that we could allow our kids to graduate with us, which was very important to them. Originally, it was the students were going to go other places at the beginning of grade 11. That just wasn't going to work. So we did receive that modification to our charter, and this past year we added 8th grade, which brings a totally new segment of I don't want to say issues, but changes to our community. Having 8th graders and older and mature students in the building really has changed our culture. I think the positive. You know, we're going to go through some things today. The students are prepped, and Liz is prepped to talk to you about their perspectives on things. I mean, just from administratively, we work with students from 27 different communities in New Hampshire presently.
Good.
We have about 35% of our student body are students with IEPs, and we work with special ed folks from 21 different school districts. So there's a lot of coordination that has to happen in terms of IEP goals and things. So I think at this point, I'll just turn it over. Taylor, you're going to go first? I think you're raring to go.
There's one more thing I just want to interject that I quickly always forget to add. I'm also a mother of a graduate of GBEX. My youngest son graduated. I had one son graduate from Exeter High School. My daughter graduated from Phillips Exeter Academy, and my youngest son graduated from Great Bay. And he would be glad to tell you that he actually was at Great Bay before I was. I was hired after he was a student.
And Cheryl's son was a member of our first graduating class of 2007. Yes?
Yes.
Seven. We have had two graduating classes now. 100% of our graduates, 61 students, have been accepted to colleges.
And he's a sophomore in college.
Program,
really so. Actually, 2008.
2008, 2009, right.
He's a sophomore doing well at Johnson State College in Vermont, majoring in photography and creative writing. So I kind of had that perspective as well. I always forget to say that, and he'll tell you that. Mom, you're a mother first. All right. Taylor.
Go, Taylor.
Okay. Hi, my name is Taylor Nelson. I'm a senior at Great Bay Learning Charter School. I have been at charter school the longest, longer than any of the other students. Been there since my freshman year. My question that I was asked to answer today is it possible to have a school where all of its members feel connected and valued for who they are? And my answer is absolutely. I went to Exeter High School for a semester before I transferred in to charter school, and it was really difficult for me. I have what you would call an attention deficit problem, and I was falling behind in math, I was falling behind in English, I was doing fine in my other classes, but then when it came down to it, when I needed help in my other topics, it just turned into I was failing everything. I was failing out of high school as a freshman. And once I learned about the charter school, I looked into it, I transferred in, and it all went uphill from there. I mean, at the high school, I would go to my teachers, and they would tell me to go to someone else to try to find help. Here at charter school, I can turn around to a teacher, even if it's not the teacher that for the class that I'm doing work for, and they'll sit down and help me and give me the help that I need. So it's pretty good. But once I transferred into charter school, talking about charter school to other students that were going to traditional high schools, I could really only describe it as different because I really couldn't grasp the kind of connection that all of the other students seemed to have with all of the teachers there. It was just kind of, it was weird to me, like coming into a school setting where the students, not only were they sitting down and listening to the teachers teach them, but they went, like, they take a break and they sit down and talk casually like they were friends, and that was just kind of weird. I don't know. But, I mean, now I'm in my senior year at charter school. I've been accepted to college. I'll be going to Burlington College next year, and I realized that I probably couldn't have done it without the community that is at charter school, with all of the teachers that are behind me 100% for everything that I've put my work into, any project that I've ever done. They've always just been behind me, so, like, extremely supportive, and have completely backed me up. I mean, 4 years ago, I thought I was most likely going to be not in high school anymore, and here I am going to college next year, and it's all because of these people.
And you.
Yeah.
And you.
I guess I had something to do with it.
Yeah, you did, absolutely. One of the things I think, Taylor, that you're getting at there is kind of our philosophy about the way our day is run is, if it's not something worth getting in a conflict about, we're not going to. One of the signs I have in my office is, you got to get a bigger problem. I'm not going to chase somebody down in the hall, for example, and say, why do you have on that baseball hat? Have it turn into a big conflict and have the kids suspended. It's a baseball hat. Or if somebody's writing an essay, and they say to the teacher, can I wear my iPod while I write? Why not? I do. So we kind of sat with our teachers and said, what's worth enforcing and what isn't? We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But for somebody like Taylor, who we consider one of the best kids who will ever leave our school, those kinds of things would get him in problems in the big traditional school. It's not good or bad. It's just different. And for him,
Yeah, absolutely. Different. Like, it wasn't, like, I describe it as different. And everyone would kind of take it like it wasn't a school setting, anyone that I described it to, but that's not the case at all. It's just, it's a school setting, but it's a lot more comfortable for kids that don't have, that just don't have either problems with not, like, sitting in a classroom and taking notes or, I mean, reading from a textbook. I mean, since I've been in high school, like, it doesn't sound very good, but I haven't picked up a textbook because all of my teachers have taught me everything, and they haven't even taught from a textbook. So,
well, we don't use textbooks. That's part of our philosophy.
Yeah.
We use novels. We use trade books, but we don't use textbooks. So they don't realize that, but that's by educational design. We made a choice not to use textbooks.
So it's just different.
things that, that Taylor mentioned too, and he talked about where he came from. All of our students have come from obviously other school experiences, and we don't want in any way to say negative things about those schools. Our kids are coming to us because of their perceptions of things that went on at their schools, and their experiences are very powerful. They've all applied to come, and you know, as I, we're so happy to have them, but big traditional schools don't work for all kids.
One size doesn't fit all. That's what they're really trying to say. We made sure we wanted to talk to them. We don't want anybody to think we're saying bad things about their other schools. It just didn't work for them. My daughter would have put a pen in her eye if I had to send her to our school. So different kids, you know, get by in different things. Any questions for Taylor before we move on?
Just a quick question, Taylor. So, you know, the very strong community support, teacher support, et cetera. How did you feel? Did you have to take SATs?
I took SATs last year, and I mean, the going to charter school, because we don't have tests, it was kind of different, but I mean, I've taken a standardized test before, and we still do state testing, so SATs were pretty, they were all right, they weren't too bad. I mean, it was still challenging, but I felt prepared for them. I mean, we offer an SAT prep class before the test so that everyone can have a chance to work on a test and see what their score might be and stuff like that.
We also have a pretty strong AP program, and we have lots of kids who take the AP exams, and actually we've done really well on advanced placement. It's open enrollment. If you want to take advanced placement courses, you're in. We don't do any leveling, and we don't do anything that's exclusionary at Great Bay. There is nothing that excludes anyone. And the kids with advanced placement courses have done exceptionally well. When people ask us why, we're not really sure, but we think it's because critical thinking has become part. And a lot of people say, well, that's academic, it's not culture. I said, no, I think it is culture. If kids feel like everything is possible for me, it doesn't matter, everything is possible for me, I'm okay, I think that changes your culture, because you don't have the ins and the outs. You don't have what I say are the winners and losers. We create a culture where everybody's got a chance to be a winner in one form or another.
And we recognize that, you know, we're in a time where standardized testing is something that we have to participate in. Our students, all of our students as juniors, take the PSAT. We provide that experience for them. Several, you know, most of our students do take the SATs probably two times, and we participate in the NECAP. Our students do get multiple experiences.
I think it's a great, this is evidence, and maybe we should be collecting that evidence, that project-based, you know,
right,
that type of setting.
And we continue to fight kind of that specter. So maybe at the end today, Peter and I will give you some of our insights about the myths regarding that word, project-based education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Cami Crew.
Hi, my name is Cami Crew, and I'm a junior at the charter school. My freshman year of high school, I went to a traditional high school.
What's your question, though, first?
Is it possible to have an appropriate and healthy relationship between the student and adult communities? And so my first year of high school, I went to a traditional high school, and I was not doing very well at all. My needs weren't being met as a student. In one instance, I was taking a Spanish course, and I really struggle learning a second language, so right from the beginning, I was behind in the class. I would go to my teacher, and it was obvious I was struggling because my grades reflected it, but instead of getting the help that I needed, she would just move on, and it got to the point where I was so upset that I was doing so bad in class that I would just stop going, and I would get in trouble for doing that instead of the help that I needed. And at charter school, the teachers are more willing to take a step back when you're struggling and adjust their teaching to your needs instead of being more concerned about following the curriculum. And because they realize we're not cookie cutter people, we're not lists on a piece of paper, we're students. They take the time to get to know you as a person and teach you with what works for you instead of teaching you as they're told. Because of that, they become more like mentors instead of just some stranger in front of the classroom telling you random information you probably won't use later in life. over the summer, I went in to visit her, and she presented me with this opportunity for an internship at a local bed and breakfast in Exeter, and I started that in September, and 3 days after I started working at the internship, they offered me a paid position. So I work there part-time now. So at charter school, there's a lot of emphasis on mutual respect. You get what you give, and there's no tolerance for disrespect. If a new student comes in and they're not still not sure of what charter school is, and they're disrespectful for the teacher, the first people to speak up are the students. And there's absolutely no tolerance for violence at all. I don't think there's been a fight the whole time I've been at charter school. And the principals are very awesome, because you have to expect that we're teenagers, we are going to bend the rules a little too far sometimes, but when they punish you, it's not just you did something wrong, this is your punishment, and we'll move on. They sit down and they talk to you so that way you don't make the same mistakes again in the future, and you realize what you did and why you shouldn't have done it. I have bent the rules a couple times, and the consequences of the crime.
Misdemeanors.
The reality is these kids don't realize it, but Peter and I have both been administrators in big traditional high schools. We have very few discipline issues. We have what we call the new kid syndrome, which is Cammie's kind of referring to. Kids will come in with kind of this chip, and within minutes, the other kids will say, we don't do that here. These are our adults. We don't do that here. And they kind of self-police. So.
At the traditional high school, I would say I had a problem with the authority, but now at charter school, I can't even imagine talking back to my teachers at this point, because, I mean, I wouldn't talk back to my friends if they were telling me something I needed to know and didn't want to hear. And my favorite part about charter school is how I can go into a classroom if I'm having a bad day and sit down with one of my teachers and talk to them about it, and it's not like I'm talking to an adult that's just listening to me because it's their job. They really care and they listen, and they offer you advice that you won't get from your friends because they're older and wiser, and they're more than willing to sit there with you for as long as you need. And if you have a bad day, they'll like hide you so you can just work by yourself.
Questions for Cammie?
Can you talk about what a typical day is like for you at your school?
Well, I go in the morning, and we have morning meeting, which is kind of like announcements almost. We learn about what upcoming events are coming.
Is that the entire school?
Yes. Entire school,
yes.
In the cafeteria, eats breakfast and has meeting together.
And that's when the seniors are announced about who gets accepted to college, and it's been happening more frequently as the school year is closing, coming to an end. And then we have, our schedule is on blocks, and we have 4 blocks, but all my classes are half blocks. So I take first block and take world language, which I'm taking French on Rosetta Stone, and then second half of that block I have study hall. And after that I have test prep, which is the SAT prep class that Taylor was talking about, and then I have technology projects, which is so we can get our technology credit and we learn how to use different programs on the computer. Like, instead of using Paint, we use GIMP, and we've done some work with spreadsheets, and we do video conferences and podcasts. And after that I have college prep, which is where we go on a website called College Board, and we pick out our colleges during our junior year, and then during our senior year, we work towards applying for them and applying for scholarships and FAFSA and all those different things. And then I have Arc Studio, which is really nice. And then at the end of the day, I actually take, I'm in one of the AP classes. I take AP Statistics, and I also take pre-calculus.
And Cammie's referring to the semester 2 schedule, and semester 1 there would be a different
English,
you know,
yeah.
The core courses are semester based.
You missed advisory. We have a half hour advisory every day for every student.
And that's where our advisor is kind of like the mother hen, and it's where we meet. Like the first day of school, school, if you're a new student, you go and meet with your advisory, and you meet all your the people that are going to be in your classes, and your advisor is the person you would go to if you're struggling with classes, and the teacher you have isn't helping. And it's nice. You get to talk to the kids in your class, and you can go over work that you got or homework that you have gotten. Or we do a lot of our exhibition work, which is our, I guess, our midterms and finals. And so
we do school-wide exhibition in lieu of, you know, midterm and final examinations.
Ms.
Who's advisor are you like here?
Ms. Matheson.
Mr. Stafford.
So I mean,
yeah.
What we use our advisory, our advisors are sort of a point for people for contact home, coordinating meetings, just helping the students out. And, you know, a lot of times if students are having issues, the advisor can sort of be an intermediary with anybody who needs to be involved.
Parents know, call the advisor, because the advisor is always available within minutes. Would you say within minutes? I mean, that's part of our promise to parents. You will never go till the end of the day without one of us, advisor or one of the principals, calling back ever.
Ever.
It won't go to the next day, ever. And that includes weekends. If Liz needed to get one of us on the weekends, you could get one of us.
You're taking over.
Oh, sorry. But that's part of our promise, and when we talk about building a community, part of our promise to the parents is you will never not be able to get in touch with one of us, because we understand. Maybe we have 175 kids. She's got one son she's concerned about. And that's having raised three very different kids, and Peter's got two teenagers of his own. We don't want that to ever happen. Okay. Cammie, thank you. Any questions for Cammie besides?
I do have another question. It's called Great Bay eLearn. Is that because you do a lot of online learning, or is it?
Yeah. At the traditional high school I went to, there was maybe like two computers in each classroom, and if we needed to do a project, we'd have to reserve a computer lab. But in the classrooms at the charter school, there's one computer for every student, if not more.
But we don't do online courses.
No.
The computers are just a tool to use in the class. It's not like VLAX, which is kind of our sister school over there next door, which is an online charter school. The e-learning came, and these guys weren't there when the school first opened. In fact, Peter and I have actually talked about changing the name because it's very confusing. E-learning came from the fact that the foundation would be very technology-centered. As we evolve, what we've realized is the kids like the technology, but they're coming to us for the small environment. If we were to say tomorrow to these kids, the computers are going away, would you decide to leave or would you still stay?
I would stay, but I'd be very concerned.
But, I mean, what we initially thought when we opened the school, and Peter and I were part of the opening, we just didn't work there at the time. He was on the Board of Trustees, and I was on the school board in Exeter, but we thought kids were going to come for the technology. What we found is they're coming for the things they're talking about today. The technology is just a nice party favor.
And I think the technology, like, it's not always on the computer. Like, it can be technical, like building a 3D model for exhibition or making flyers for publications. I was in the first semester, which is the yearbook class, and we were in charge of
publications.
We were in charge of making all the advertisements about the yearbook, and we actually designed our yearbook. It's been designed, I think, every year.
Every year, we have a little yearbook.
The e-learning aspect, I mean, we, as Cheryl said, we have discussed maybe changing the name of our school, but our students do use Rosetta Stone for world languages. We have probably 60 students who are involved right now in different languages through their offerings, doing very well. We're piloting right now a program called Alex, which is a math program, and our students that have started that are doing very well with it. We also do have some online tutorial programs that we're using. So
but we use those kind of the same way any high school would use them. We're not, you know what I mean?
Some of our students do take virtual courses. Some of our students are participating in college courses right now as older students. So we were very much based in our charter initially on the MET, which was, you know, sort of a the teacher as facilitator with groups of students that would sort of design their own plan and then do very different things. And it just became apparent early on that the students needed, the community needed to pull back. So we became a little bit more traditionally structured in that sense, and then have sort of adapted and rolled as we've evolved.
And what we found is that these kids wanted the human connection desperately. I mean, they're talking about that, and that's not what we thought, but they wanted connections with adults. So we really had to kind of, and we shift every year, to be honest with you. We revisit at the end of every year. what's working for us and what isn't. And we ask these guys, what's going well? I mean, they talked about what we asked the teachers, so we've kind of evolved. We still like our computers,
yeah,
but we're not online.
I mean, since I've been to charter school, since my freshman year, it's changed drastically. We've changed buildings, there's been a lot of new teachers, but something that's been the same is that the teachers are behind you, and no matter whether you're on their computers or whether you're in the classroom, it's always going to be there.
I would just also mention, because the technology was brought up, we are on a Linux network, we're using thin clients, we have some Macintosh computers and we have some Microsoft laptops. Basically, we're proponents of open source software. Our technology budget is not significant. We
won't ever replace everything that we have from the startup, right?
You know, all of our classrooms have a minimum of 17 computers, and there are more computers at our school than there are kids. But you go into a classroom, and almost always they're starting off at the table in discussions, and the computers have just become tools. The computers aren't the driving force from what we do.
Once we decided that the computer thing wasn't the draw for the kids, we really even changed the makeup of the rooms, and that was the year before you came, actually, and I put tables in the middle of the room so that our philosophy is that you should at least start at the table every day with some kind of discussion, and I think pretty much we do that. You know, whether it's a discussion question, what's going on, what about the reading last night, so. All right, so anything else for Cammie? All right, Stephanie. Stephanie was nervous, but now she's not, right? Okay.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Ramsey, and my question is it possible for schools to completely change the way that they do business and still support academics while building and sustaining a community? Well, I say it is possible because Great Bay has a very stress-free and like very understandable learning technique. Like, it's very easygoing. Everybody is there for you. Like, even if the teacher is working with another student and there's another student near you and knows that you need help, they'll sit there and try and help you as well as they can. It's pretty much a learning by like project-based curriculum, and I work better with hands-on like project-based things, and I actually just started a few weeks ago.
She's our newest student, so that's why she's here.
I attended another school before, and I got to the point where I just stopped going. I absolutely couldn't stand it. Like, I got to the point where when I was there, I was calling my mom, bawling my eyes out, coming at me, like, and to the point where I just refused to go. So my parents finally just took me out, and I got a request to come to Great Bay, and I absolutely love it. It's, everyone knows everybody, nobody judges anybody. Like, there are so many different types of people, like, with their different attitudes. Like, they don't have, like, attitudes, but, like, they're all, we don't judge people for, like, their cliques. We all get along, no matter who's different from whoever. And, there's absolutely no bullying allowed, like they said before. Everybody speaks up about it. Everybody respects everybody. The teachers are like your best friends with the other students in the school. You're friends with almost everybody in that school. I remember the first day I walked in there, I had the first 20 minutes I was in there, I had at least 6 people come up to me and introduce themselves. And it was very warming and open, and I enjoy it. I like the fact to be able to work with music. I tend to get very distracted, so that way if I have something there to keep all the other noise out and let me focus on my work, it's a lot easier. There's always consequences for your actions. No matter what happens, whether you get in trouble, whether you have to sit there and talk to the principal, if you do something wrong or if you did something right, if they just want to talk, see how your day's going, we tend to do that.
Yeah, we have Peter and I have a genuine open door policy, which means even when the door is closed, students are always allowed to knock. And we probably 50% of every day have kids coming, can we come in and talk to you about, it can be something as simple as, they're not giving us the right kind of vitamin water in the calf, two, I don't like my, I mean, we, all day. I mean, there are even days like, should we just pull the shade? And we're like, no, we can't do that. And they just didn't, I mean, I think you can attest to that too.
I can.
So.
Well, there's a girl that came in the other day, she was trying to make arrangements for a bus for a community service project. Here's a student making arrangements with transportation, to trying to get bids for a bus. And it was, she knocked on the door, she came in, she was all excited about it, and we said, we'll see if we can figure out how to best do this.
Or we've had kids come in and say, I think I'm going to have a bad day. What can you do for me so I don't get in trouble? Which is such a nice thing to have happen. And we'll say, well, why don't you go in the quiet room? Because we have a couple of different quiet rooms where you can just go. And let's face it, kids just like us, their days, by the way, I know I'm not getting along with others. Right, Peter?
Yes.
But I think that that's such a life skill for them to say ahead of time, before I screw up, can you give me a place to go where I can just work and be alone for a little bit? How many times in my past life, my other life, when I worked in traditional schools, if kids had done that, they would have not been suspended. They would, but our kids feel free to come in or see their advisor. I think Cammie alluded to that. Go to the advisor and say, I think I need to be with you today. It's not going to work out well. And all of you guys have done that at one time or another, haven't you?
Absolutely. There's definitely been days where you just come to school and you're like, this isn't going to work today. And you just go to your advisor and you're like, I need a room fast. And they go, okay, sit there.
But then like halfway you go in, you have a bad morning, but halfway through the day you're like, well, I missed my classes. I want to go out and be around.
You can just go.
Yeah. So they, and usually, right, it doesn't take the whole day. By about second or third block, they're like, okay, I'm good now. I can go back. And we just think that that's such a better way to do things than wait until they've gotten themselves in trouble and put them somewhere. So it's kind of a preemptive in-school suspension, only it's not punitive. Yeah, yeah, okay.
And can I say something? It's not my turn, but I didn't talk about it, but
all
it's on
right.
the same.
Liz is a parent of one of our seniors.
And he's had days when other kids have needed him because he's like a mother. And the kids wanted to talk to him, and his teachers have let him spend the time that he needed to help somebody else with their problems.
Well, that's the community aspect.
To me, amazing.
It's understanding, for us, the understanding is if you build a community, the academics are easy. If you don't have a community, everything goes south. I mean, that's really what we feel. Okay, Steph, how are you?
Everybody is warm and welcoming. Everybody, if you're a new student, when you walk into the school, everyone's always like, hey, there's a new student. Like, they all want to get to know you. They're very open and outgoing. Like, they're not, I wouldn't say they're loud, but they're very.
We're not a quiet community.
Yeah.
Our classrooms are not quiet. We're not
every
quiet.
Classroom is an adventure.
Yes, it is. It is. Getting to know people, if you say if you're a new student and you see a couple people that you really think that you could be really, really good friends with, you could just walk up and be yourself, introduce yourself, and they'll more than welcome you, and they'll probably be your friends. I mean, I'm friends with almost everybody in the school already, and like I said, I've only been there for like 3 or 4 weeks.
It's so nice to see Stephanie happy, because when we got her, she was a little bit broken. You think?
Yeah, I was.
She was a little bit of a. In fact, we weren't going to take any more kids this year. And she left, and we had told Stephanie and her mother, we're not going to take any new kids this year. Peter and I are in the office looking at each other. I looked at him, I said, you know we have to take her, right? And he's like, yeah, I know. So they weren't even home yet. There was a message on the phone. She can start in the morning. We just, even though we make these rules, like, the kid needs us. All right, she can. So then, of course, there were 5 other kids. But to see the kid she's become in just a few weeks from where she was, and that's why I wanted her to be here today, because she tells such a good story.
There's a lot of trust in everybody in the school. I'd say that in our own, we have our own little school community. We can open up to anybody and not have to worry about it going anywhere besides in the school, and we know that it's not going to leave the school. The class sizes, I don't work very well with a lot of people in my class because I have a very hard time staying focused. So I work better with smaller classes, and even if there is a big class, you can ask to go into another room and or move, and your teacher will let you. It's not a problem at all. And all they're really concerned about is you getting your work done and you know what you're doing. And they will be there if you have any questions whatsoever. They'll sit there with you and ask you what problems you're having, and they'll listen to everything that you have to say, and they'll go back and try to help explain where you're stuck in more detail than they would with the whole class. They work with individual students. They'll like have everyone sit down and explain the work, and then if someone needs help, they'll come over to you and they'll sit with you and re-explain everything and give you in greater detail what you need to do. And it makes it a lot easier because I've had a lot of issues in school. I wasn't doing very good. I was failing. I just was pretty much giving up. And it was to the point where I was ready to drop out. Didn't care. You have a question?
Can you explain why? Do you know why you were failing?
Well, a lot of it had to do with, like, bullying to the point where it broke out into not me skipping classes because I didn't want to be in there with other students. It was to the point where I was roaming the halls, or I'd just get up and walk out of the school, or I'd go to the office and call my mom. I'd go to the office and say things about the people, and they try to say something, like separate us, but it didn't really do too good, I guess.
We have a lot of kids with bullying in their backgrounds. We didn't even know it necessarily, but when we sit and talk to them, I bet 75% of our kids have some kind of bullying or harassment in their background at school. Isn't that bizarre? I mean, they don't let that on the interview, it's not on the application, but by the first 6 months we'll hear, well, and he and I kind of have been keeping statistics on, rough statistics, but most of our kids have some kind of bullying in their background. I think that's really scary.
And it's not just being bullied, too. A lot of times there have been a few kids that were the bully, and the environment has changed, and now they're a completely different person, and they would never do that.
Yeah.
I had somebody say that to me the other day. Because I wasn't bullied. I was the bully.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I came here that I learned not to. And that was, wow. We were like, we had no idea.
Yeah.
So
one of the things that Stephanie mentioned earlier, that she talked a little bit about cliques, our entire student body, our school eats lunch together, and all the staff and the students are in the cafeteria. And you get to see students dress different ways, act different ways. You know, we have different color hair. We've got all sorts of it. And when we have kids that are, you know, the stereotypical varsity athletes, and to watch the kids and the dynamics in the cafeteria, that's where you see it. You know, they move around. There are kids with letter jackets over playing magic cards
with kids.
It's just such a nice thing to see that the kids feel comfortable with each other and get along.
I just saw people walking. I got nervous. They should have come in here. Okay. Anyway. And the other thing is the teachers and the principals eat in the caf with the kids every day. I mean, it's just what we do.
Yeah.
We eat in the caf with it. We wouldn't think of doing it, but people come visit and say, you're eating with the kids? Oh, yeah. Kids are people, too. So we all eat together.
Structurally, though, we send our lower school, which is our 8th and 9th grade, down 10 minutes earlier, so they get through the line.
They get
seated, and then the upper school kids will come down, and we just stagger the lunch by 10 minutes. So, but there is about a 20-minute period of time where the whole student body is there.
Okay. Questions for Stephanie, because I want to make sure I get a chance to... Did you have something to say?
I was
going to
say something.
Okay.
But I was just going to say something, like Mr. Stackhouse was saying. I mean, there's so many different variety of kids. We don't have any cliques at all. Everyone mingles with everyone. I mean, and it's not even just the playing card games or like the jocks or mingling with the nerds. It's like, it's never been weird to walk outside at lunch and see a group of kids fighting with foam swords.
That is, we do
or
that.
playing with cards or doing something completely bizarre. It's just completely normal and nobody says it.
Exactly. Like, and with everything, like, I have one more thing to say.
Okay.
You can say that.
Our kids were shy too, very shy.
Yes. When I first started, I was very, very shy. I was very quiet, and now I'm very open and love everybody in the school. But my perspective on school, from my last traditional high school till now, and even though it's been like 2-3 months since I've been out of my last traditional school, I absolutely love school now, and before I absolutely hated it, wanted nothing to do with it, and now I love it and can't wait. I want more of it.
She does. We actually have a big problem, and I'm serious about this with Taylor Rebecca, so seniors not wanting to graduate.
I don't want
the first graduating class, I don't know if you were, I think you were at that graduation. We had kids, big boys, sobbing in the parking lot because it's the happiest they've ever been. So we do, we find a little bit, like right now, we just ran into a kid the other day, a little bit of trouble because they think if I get in enough trouble, I feel I won't have to graduate. Well, you know, honey, you have to fly away. It's time. So.
We've had a couple kids that have intentionally sort of sabotaged their success and, you know, to catch that early enough. So it's, I guess.
Yeah, we finally figured that out, but we were just talking about it on the way over. So they don't, you know, other schools, they're like, we can't wait to graduate. Our kids are like, do we have to graduate? We got to go.
And within, you know, usually, I think we had our entire first graduating class has been back to see us this year.
Several times.
They come
yeah.
in and they eat lunch with the kids. It's really nice to
hi,
see these kids.
Hi, yeah, charter school. So, all right. Liz George. Oh, do you have any questions for Stephanie?
How did you know about the school? Did your parents know about it? How did you get referred to
Well, while I was still attending my last traditional high school, my best friend of, like, out of everybody, stopped going to the traditional high school and started coming to Great Bay. And when I started having even more issues in school, she recommended looking into the school. Mm-hmm. So I looked into it for a little while, and I finally got to the point where I just couldn't take my last traditional high school anymore. And I had mentioned to my parents about the school, and they looked into it. And so far, my parents absolutely love it because I go home in a wonderful mood.
Just to follow up on that, we do no advertising. We do no recruiting. The kids come to us. Parents
teachers
come to
refer kids. We have principals who refer kids. But the other piece that Stephanie just said, we've had tons of families, and Liz will get to it, but say to us, her or my child being happy at school has changed our whole family life. The dynamic at home has changed. All right.
We're also at the point where we get siblings. You know, we're starting to get multiple siblings. And
multiple siblings.
It's so satisfying to see that.
It's the legacy.
All right.
I want Liz. This
no,
is
I
Liz. Okay.
What is your largest class? Like, how many students are in your largest class?
I'd say I think it would be either advisory or publications, because there's like
17 should
yeah.
be the largest, but
I was just
most
gonna
are
say
under
about
that.
17.
We have kind of a gray line at 17. Occasionally go over. Advisories, none of them are over 17.
No.
No.
But the advisory, we have a lot of students that come in from other advisories too.
That's
so.
For whatever reason they might. Or like when we planned, you were talking about Miss Lemieux's shower. We just had the first GBEX baby born. I grounded all my teachers from getting pregnant, but she did it anyway. And the whole school had a shower for her. Of course, the whole school had the wedding for her 2 years ago.
Oh,
no, we did. I bought the dress. Peter did the setup of the furniture. Seriously, because she was a young teacher, they didn't have any money, so we all chipped in and made the wedding. Kids did the waiting.
Kids waited on tables and bused tables.
One of our paraprofessionals was the disc jockey, so we had the GBEX wedding, and then we just had the GBEX shower, and she had the baby in February. So, all right, Liz.
I've learned so much. This is a very hard act to follow.
I know. Our kids are very engaging.
Well, anyway, as Cheryl said, I'm Liz George. My son is a senior this year. I apologize for the size of my index cards, but it's either that or the glasses on the tip of the nose so I can see you, too. I'm very honored that I was asked to speak today because I feel very strongly about the experiences my son's had, and I'm happy to share some of that. It gets a little personal. These are his friends, but I have his permission to talk about him. I'm speaking not only as a mother of four, ages from 13 to 30, but also as a former high school teacher and a homeschooling mom. I've been on all sides. The question I'm addressing is it possible for parents to be partners rather than just observers in their students' school experiences? And I'll come back to that. I grew up loving school. My siblings and I are well educated. My husband's a doctor, my dad's a PhD, and I just expected that my kids were gonna follow suit. I was blessed with four outstanding, beautiful, very intelligent kids, all four of them. But Tom, the one who's at Great Bay, has challenged everything that I believe in, and he's still doing it. But he's made a big impact on me and everybody else. He was homeschooled through or into fifth grade, and public school when we attended was great for him socially. But academically, it's never been good. Tom has always had his own agenda, and school just got in the way of everything he wanted to do. He's very active, loves to be outside, and he's very intelligent. He's got a very high IQ, we had him tested. And school was just a waste of his time. He still lives by that philosophy, not so much with school, but his own agenda, wants to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, which in some ways is gonna be great for him, but it hasn't been great through school. When he was in public school, I used to have this line, and because I was a teacher, I know you'll understand, I used to say, Tom, you just have to play the game. You just have to play the game and get through. You're expected to do homework, you have to do the homework. Just because you understand the material, you have to do the homework. Well, this didn't work for him. By the middle of sophomore year, we realized that it wasn't going to get any better, and that the die was cast and Tom just was not thriving. It took a long time. We tried everything, but it just wasn't going to work. He's a great kid. He's rarely in trouble at school anyway. Everybody's friend, and one that his teachers love because of his kindness, his charm. He cares about everybody. He's very intelligent, and he contributes a lot to his classes. But he hated school, absolutely hated school. Every morning was a battle. Every afternoon, every evening was a battle. He was so bored and he felt so confined. He didn't care about what was being taught. It was just torture for him to be there. And we felt like we were out of options, but we kept hearing about this charter school. Within 5 minutes of meeting with Peter and Cheryl, we knew that it was going to be a great fit for Tom. He was very comfortable. He really liked the atmosphere. He felt very respected, which is something that's important to him, everybody, but especially to this one. And I felt like I was being invited to be part of this team as well. There was structure and expectations, but there was an embracing of the individual child and the belief that the differences of each child contributed to the uniqueness of the person and the overall healthy climate of the school. Excuse me for 1 minute. Thank you. Every student is valued, accepted, and has something to offer, and I think that all the teachers and the other kids believe that and see it. The interview process itself helped to solidify the team feeling. It was very open, comfortable. Tom was very honest about his past, about his academics, about everything about himself, because Cheryl and Peter were very honest, and there was no game to be played here. As a teacher or an administrator, for the most part, you only get to see what the student presents to you. And I think that's even more true in high school when parents have less and less to do with their child's education. The kids take over, they don't tell you everything, they won't tell you much of anything. When you get to know the family, there's another perspective from which to understand the child and evaluate situations. Both perspectives are valid, both perspectives are true, but the whole picture definitely makes for a better school experience for the child and helps the teacher to know the child and know how to help that child. Some parents expect the kids to be raised by the school. They put an awful lot on the teachers. I know because when I was teaching, I hardly ever saw parents. I saw parents of the really good kids, the ones who were doing well, the ones who were getting the good grades. I never saw the parents of the kids who were in trouble. I still believe that it takes a village to raise a child, and that's certainly been true with raising my son. Great Bay encourages the families to participate in the process and to be part of it all. I can walk into school, and I have, anytime. I feel welcomed, I feel comfortable. I feel like an intrusion, but that's my own feeling because I don't want to bother anybody. They never make me feel like I'm a bother. I never hesitate to email or call Peter or Cheryl, and Tom's teachers have even given me their cell phone numbers in case I needed them during an extremely difficult time that we had. We've all worked together to structure classes for Tom so that he has the credits he needs for graduation. He did really poorly in his traditional high school. It's a great school, wonderful people. People really tried to help him, but the system was set up for kids who don't learn like Tom does. He's earned credits for art classes that he's taken outside of school, and individual classes have been created for Tom when none existed to make sure that he does graduate. That, to me, is phenomenal, more than I ever expected. The respect for the whole person is so evident at this school, and the respect that flows from these kids back to the school is astounding. They love their school. My son loves his school. There's a very strong parents group at GBEX. They work closely with the teachers and the administration. They fundraise for activities. They set up different things for the kids. They recently organized a sleepover at Best Buy, a locked-in sleepover at Best Buy.
We did do that, yeah.
It was in the cafeteria at our school, and Best Buy showed up with a huge tractor trailer. They dropped off huge flat screen TVs.
And they paid us.
Yeah. And they paid us.
They paid us $2,000.
Wow.
To come
use their merchandise?
Yeah. They brought in TVs.
It was worth
video
it staying
games,
up all night.
They brought in guitars, amplifiers.
It was great.
Drum
it was
sets.
Such a fun night. And it was all parent run.
Very cool.
All parent run.
A very vital part of the school. The parents, students, staff, teachers, and administration really are like a family. Kids who were once failing in school and failing at life are now thriving. My own story,
the story of all our
kids. It's amazing. This isn't by accident either. It's by implementing a philosophy that we all do need to work together to be partners in our school, in our students' school experiences. So to answer the question I posed in the beginning, yes, we are partners rather than just observers. That's the way it should be. That's the way I always wanted it to be for my kids. What goes on in school affects what goes on at home, and what goes on at home, as you all know, affects what goes on at school. And I'd really like to get personal for a few minutes. Back in September, Tom decided that he would be better off packing his bags, leaving home, and I hope I can get through this without the tears. And moving out on his own rather than to live with us. We're a good family, but we have rules, we have expectations, we have things that we just don't tolerate, and that wasn't good enough for Tom. He had run away before, never more than for a day or two at a time, but this was different. He left on a Sunday night, and the first place I went Monday morning was to school. I called Cheryl and Peter, but Cheryl and I talked, and I told her what was going on, and she said, "Can you come in right now?" Those were her exact words. "Can you come in right now?" Well, I was in my jammies. I would have, but I got dressed and I went over and we talked for a long time. She said, "Would you like to see Tom?" Because I knew Tom was going to go to school no matter what.
And he did. He showed up.
He did. They dropped what they were doing and just, took me into the office and we talked. And that was what I needed to do, and they were great. Tom feels very safe there. He knows that the people around him, whether it's his friends or the staff in general, are all there for him. They're his greatest support. I thought I was, but they are, they are. This went on for 18 days. Through all of this, the only time Tom didn't go to school was one morning when he couldn't find a ride. He actually called Peter looking for a way to get to school. Peter called me. I was able to find Tom. He still didn't want to come home, but he wanted to go to school, so I took him to school. We finally got the juvenile justice system involved because at 17 in New Hampshire, it's not legal to let your child sleep on different people's couches every night. We had called the police, everybody knew what was going on, and we kept thinking, this is going to end today, this is going to end tomorrow, but it didn't. So we set up a meeting with the chief probation officer who actually came to school. Cheryl and Peter gave us a classroom and said, use this room for as long as you need. And so my husband and I, Tom and this probation officer, talked for a while. And Tom came home, but I knew that Peter and Cheryl were living this nightmare with us. You know, they're very close to these kids. Tom is an incredibly lovable kid. He drives me crazy. We clash constantly, but his heart is huge, and I knew that Peter and Cheryl cared as much as we did. He came home. Things were really not good for a long time. We kept trying to get Tom the help that he needed, but he refused. And as I said, at 17, it's a very strange age in New Hampshire and maybe all over the country, but there are very few things you can make your child do at 17. I was really open with Peter and Cheryl. They were very open with me. Tom was very open with them. And he was struggling, and they knew it. I believed that they needed to be in on the problems that were going on in our family. I'm a very private person, although not so much anymore. But I realized that everybody has their problems, and it wasn't just us. In a very kind but firm manner, Cheryl and Peter told Tom that he needed to do what his parents were asking him to do, or that he wasn't allowed to go back to school. I didn't know that until after the fact. But since he was chosen to go to that school, and it's a privilege to be there, they have the right to do that. He had to comply or face being kicked out of our home and kicked out of school. And this is just before the end of his senior year. Well, he decided to comply. And last night, Tom graduated from an intensive 6-week outpatient program for substance abuse. I feel like I have my son back. I really don't want to do this, but it's been incredible. But if it wasn't for Peter and Cheryl, it wouldn't have happened. It might have happened down the road, and it might have gone down a very different road. And he even went in and thanked them during the course of this.
He said thank you for saving my life.
I didn't know that either. He's still struggling, but he's really proud of his accomplishments. He's going to finish school, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, Liz. Yes.
His SAT scores are in the 600s. He's a very brilliant kid.
He is brilliant. Absolutely gifted.
He hated traditional school. He's applying to colleges. He may not get in right now because his transcripts don't show a very bright kid, but he'll get there. And I just owe most of it to these people. They are my partners, our partners. And without this school, I don't think Tom would be going where he's going right now. And that's a good thing. So I'm grateful. Oh, I'm grateful to be able to speak.
That's
a pretty good thing. Add on a little bit.
Sure.
Because with my last traditional high school, me and my parents are going through a lot of the same situations. And I'm actually in the process of going to court to be able to move out of my parents' house because I am only 17. And last night, we had a very large argument about things. And we have our very big differences, but a lot of it doesn't have to do with my mom. It's my dad and I. We definitely butt heads all the time. And I had to sit down with my mom and explain that to her last night. And that was one of the hardest things I think I've ever done. And where the whole school thing and being able to open more made it a little easier for me to open up more to my mom last night than it was to anybody, because I walked into school and could never imagine me opening up, because I've always been a very shy person, always been very quiet, never really. I was very like self-spoken, never didn't want anybody around me, like. And since I've been at the school, like, I feel like a totally different person. I mean, I may not get along with my dad, but I love him to pieces. He's my father, but we butt heads too much, and my whole difficulty is I can't be in a situation filled with stress and worrying about butting heads. I have to remove myself from that to be able to fix that. So I'm in the process of doing that.
Any questions? Thanks, Steph. Any questions for Liz? We only have a couple of minutes left. I knew that that was going
to
happen.
I just have to say, you know, it's really interesting to think of these 310 people that are here today, and many of us are thinking about many kinds of things, about innovative change in schools and teaming and the academics and testing and whatever. And it's so interesting that, you know, you talk tangentially about the academics, but I can only imagine that they're incredible from just the descriptions that you've all given, and that, you know, your school is about, certainly about the academics, but it's about so much more. I think that the one question that I had is just, and I think a couple of you mentioned it, but just this notion of exhibition. So how do we know, how do we measure what we're learning? And I would love if you just in a minute, someone could just, one of the students maybe say a word about your
exhibitions. Taylor, you've done the most exhibitions. Why don't you just give a minute, then Mr. Stackhouse.
An exhibition project is when I started, we had three a year every, like 3 months or something. We used to have an exhibition. Now it's down to two, one every semester. It's the biggest project of the year. It takes months to put work into, it takes months to put it together. And then finally, once it's put together, it's our finals, and it's our midterm. And
For every class, for every area, for everything.
Is
it for every discipline, or are they
every subject has a list of competencies that you need to cover in your project? So it has different artifacts they're all integrated, and they all intertwine. And the projects themselves can go from, you can pick anything you want, to you design a utopia, to make a museum, and it's
And I mean, quite honestly, we had, one of the things we suggested presenting about was the competencies and the projects. We were called and asked to talk about building a community. Otherwise, we've got a whole other dog and pony show about exhibition. But part of that, I think, is we believe the success has not come from the academics, although those are great. The success has come from kids feeling that they belong to a school, and then everything else works. From parents thinking they belong, and then everything else works. And I know we only have one more minute. Real quickly, the strategies. It's not so much strategies as the members of the community believe in these shared beliefs. And if we can just talk about those real quickly, we've got 1 minute. We believe that students, parents, and educators all need to feel respected. That the parents need to feel they're going to get a phone call back at the end of the day. The kids need to feel that they can say, I didn't get the way you taught that today, and not have the teacher take that as a personal affront. So that's the real fundamental belief. We believe that every kid can learn. We do no grouping. We do no leveling. Any kid who wants to take an AP course can take the AP course. We believe that every kid can learn. We believe that every student is gifted and talented. People will say to me, I have a gifted and talented program. I said, so do I. It's my whole school. Every student has gifts. Every student has talents. Imagine being the student in the school who says, oh, you can't go to the gifted and talented. You're ungifted, untalented. I mean, that's really what we're saying. So we believe all of them are gifted and talented. We believe that every student has a right to feel prepared for post-secondary and options. Many of our kids come to our school and say they never thought they could go to college. We've had 100% college acceptance rate and 100% graduation rate. And kids have gone to college who never considered college, right?
We also implement a competency-based program. I mean, we have competencies for all our courses. We report those. We use a program called PowerSchool. We report our competencies online. All of the teachers' assignments are linked to the competencies. We report that quarterly. We have cross-curricular competencies that are developed that are the students measure across all curriculum areas, and those are reported each semester. So I mean, we are a competency-based school. We are trying to do our best to become more open and transparent about how those competencies are
and
measured.
We clean it up a little bit, anyway. If you want parents to come into your school, people always say to me, how do you get the parents into your high school? I said, we invite them. I can't tell you how many parents say to us, I never felt welcome in the other high school. So we say, come on in from day one. In fact, it's an expectation that every parent be involved on some level. We really believe that students want to be part of a school community if we just show them how to do that. We have three kids here who felt they were on the fringes of the community, yet they're integral to what we do. Advisories. If you don't have an advisory, I strongly say you think of a way to get an advisory. These kids love their advisories.
Absolutely.
Love it. It's not a waste. It's not a homeroom. Okay? Educators need to know the kid before they can teach the student. If you don't know who the kid is, you can't teach the student. No student wants to fail. When kids feel that they can't do, they often don't try. So when they get, like Cammy says, in that culture of I can't do this, I can't, they stop trying everything. Assessment should be about teaching and learning. Sometimes it's easier to be the bad kid than it is to be the struggling student. A lot of discipline problems we think come out of kids feeling that they struggle. Punitive consequences, not as effective as discussions. Just because it's always been done one way doesn't mean you always have to do it that way. Schools and families should only make rules they're willing to enforce. Parents are the first teachers and need to be part of the team, and that all parents have beautiful children. Every time our teachers are getting a little bit, we say that's somebody's baby. And I had three who weren't that easy to love, trust me. So I say that's somebody. But those are kind of our fundamental beliefs. It's not so much strategies as we feel if we all believe these things, everything gets better. I really wish we had more people here to talk to today.
I just want to say that I may be small in numbers, but it's really been a privilege to hear your story, and you have inspired, I know, everyone.
If anybody'd like contact information, because we work with a lot of schools, actually Peter and I work across the country with schools. Any of you want contact information, please stop. We'll have to give it to you. We have people come and visit all the time. All right, thank you.
Thank you
all so much.
Oh, absolutely.